Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chills, a podcast where we talk about the paranormal, true crime, and anything creepy. I'm your host, Preston Porras.
And I'm Nina Cardona. This week, let's uncover the chilling secrets hidden beneath the surface of Lake Lanier in Georgia. This enigmatic body of water holds a dark and deadly history, filled with tragic deaths, eerie legends, and paranormal activity. From the cursed origins of its creations to the haunting incidents that have plagued its waters, Lake Lanier has been shrouded in mystery and fear.
Join us as we delve into the sinister past of this infamous lake, exploring the high mortality rate, the unsettling legends, and the spine-tingling events that have earned Lake Lanier its reputation as a truly haunted place. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Chills.
Lake Lanier is a man-made lake about 30 minutes north of Atlanta, Georgia. Back in the 1940s, Atlanta was growing at a fast pace, with the population jumping from 14,000 to 200,000 in just a few short years. The city decided they needed access to a lake of some sort to meet the water demands of its residents. The Army Peace Corps was tasked with scouting the land of the nearby Chattahoochee and Chestatee rivers in order to find a location to build a dam that they could supply water to residents of Atlanta. Eventually, the land was picked. There was just one issue. The Peace Corps had picked the town of Oscarville to build the lake on.
Oscarville was a thriving black farming community. The town had 20 cemeteries, 15 businesses, 6 churches, and a bank. It was considered a safe haven for the black community. Unfortunately, a few years earlier in 1912, race relations had taken a turn for the worst. A woman claimed to have woken up to a black man in her bedroom. Shortly after that claim, the body of 19-year-old May Crow was found underneath some leaves in a nearby forest. She had been beaten and raped. Searchers found a small pocket mirror next to the body and remembered that earlier the same day, 16-year-old Ernest Knox, a black kid from a nearby town, had purchased a pocket mirror from one of the stores. Knox was hunted down and arrested at his house. While Knox was sitting in the county jail, a large mob had started to grow outside. Knox was coerced into a confession. 4 others were also blamed as accomplices to the crime. The alleged accomplices were Knox's 18-year-old cousin, Oscar Daniel, Oscar's 22-year-old sister, Jane Daniel, Jane Daniel's 24-year-old husband, Rob Edwards, and another resident named Ed Collins. While the accused were waiting trial, a mob of approximately 2,000 white residents formed outside the county courthouse holding the alleged accomplices. A deputy attempted to prevent the mob from storming the courthouse, but the sheriff had gone home earlier that evening, claiming that he had no idea of the growing mob. After gaining access to the cells, the mob beat Rob Edwards with crowbars and hung a noose around his neck. The mob shot and killed Edwards, then drug his body out of the jailhouse and into the town square, where it was hung from a telephone pole. Some members of the mob even went home, grabbed their gun, came back, and fired more shots into the body of Edwards. Knox and Daniel were later considered guilty as well. They had been sentenced to death by hanging, which was illegal. A mob took the boys and hung them in front of a crowd of 8,000 people. Remember, the only evidence ever found was a pocket mirror. There was never a fair trial. Everyone was just automatically assumed to be guilty.
White residents near Oscarville had decided that they needed to, quote, cleanse the county. So another mob descended upon the town, forced the black residents out of their homes, killed their livestock, and destroyed their farms. The residents were told they needed to leave the county, but instead of letting them cross the bridge connecting the town to nearby Gainesville, they were told they had to swim across the river to get there. Many people drowned, including young children. The survivors made their way to Gainesville, where there were no houses waiting for them. They had to completely start over. The city of Oscarville was then taken over by the government. That brings us back to the 1940s. Oscarville was picked as a spot for the lake and construction began on the Buford Dam. In 1950, the dam was completed, and the town of Oscarville, along with 20 cemeteries, 15 businesses, churches, and banks, were flooded under 160 feet of water. Today, some claim that the spirits of Oscarville's inhabitants still linger under the lake, trapped in an eternal nightmare. There have been many tragic events on the lake. One story residents tell is that of the Lady of the Lake. In December of 1958, two young mothers named Delia Young and Susie Roberts wanted a night out on the town. The two had hopped into Roberts' 1954 Ford sedan and headed to one of their favorite spots, the Three Gables. Their way back home took them over Lake Lanier, and while they were crossing the bridge, Susie suddenly lost control of the car and the two went over the railing and into the lake. The next day, divers began to search the area for the missing women, but nothing turned up. It wasn't until a year later that a fisherman saw a body floating in the lake. When the body was pulled out and examined, there was no obvious case of death and they couldn't identify the body. It was noted, though, that the body was missing both hands and a few toes. The local people were positive it was either Delia or Susie, but back then, DNA testing wasn't a thing. There was no way to know for sure if it was them. Flash forward 31 years later to 1990. There were plans to build a new bridge over the lake. While construction crews were prepping the bottom of the lake to install pillars for the bridge, they discovered a 1954 Ford partially sticking out from the mud. There was still a body in the driver's seat. A purse, rings, and a watch were also discovered in the car, and the body was later identified as Susie Roberts. Authorities then concluded that the body they found years before was Delia Young's. It was this accident that started the legend of the Lady of the Lake. Drivers have reported driving on the bridge at night when they come across a lady in a blue dress, much like the one Delia was wearing on the night of the accident. And whenever people stopped to help or get a good look of the woman in the dress, they all reported that she was missing her hands.
Another one of the spirits seen on the lake is reported to be a man on a raft. He's said to be a shadowy figure with a pole to navigate the raft and a single lantern to light the way. Some fishermen have reported seeing this raft shortly after midnight. If they call to him, the shadow jumps into the freezing water and begins swimming towards the boat. The fishermen, who are now scared, reel in their lines and pull out a flashlight to see where the man went. They never see him again. And as they point their flashlights to where they saw the raft, it's gone. Today, as visitors flock to its shores, drawn by its beauty and recreational opportunities, they may unknowingly be visited by ghosts of the past, forever tied to the dark history of this enigmatic lake. Since 1994, over 200 individuals have met their untimely demise in tragic swimming and boating accidents on the lake. Many people have reported jumping into the water, feeling something grab their feet, and start pulling them under. Some people have even jumped off their boat and never come back up to the surface, almost like something immediately grabbed them and held them underwater. This staggering number of deaths far exceeds that of other nearby recreational spots, raising questions about the dark forces at play in the waters of Lake Lanier.
The echoes of the past still resonate through the waters, carrying with them the weight of the tragic losses and unresolved sorrows. With the town of Oscarville still at the bottom of the lake and the numerous deaths that have occurred since then, Lake Lanier holds secrets and tragedies that refuse to be forgotten. And that concludes this week's episode of Chills. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ChillsPodcastNP for updates on when a new episode is released. If you have any personal paranormal stories you would like featured in our podcast, you can email us at ChillsPodcastNP@gmail.com. We'll see you Monday.